Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group. Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to the Maitreya Show. We've got a couple of articles here today. The first one is called Education and Expanding Purpose. So it's by a fella called Graham Peebles, and he starts, "It is increasingly apparent that existing systems and institutions are incapable of responding to the challenges of the time and the demands of the people. Creative ways of thinking free from ideology are needed, allowing for a revolution of ideas to take place and new ways of living to emerge, based on altogether different values from those that are currently so pervasive. Values that cultivate cooperation, tolerance and understanding in the place of competition, prejudice and ignorance, and allow for a sense of unity and social responsibility to flower naturally. At the heart of the required changes, which need to be both gradual and radical, must be education. Like all our current structures, education throughout the world is in crisis. And while some flourish under the present approach, most do not.
Competition, coupled with reward and punishment and conformity, characterize much of institutionalized education. The pressure on children and young people to conform to a stereotype and pass examinations is intense, triggering a global mental health epidemic among under 25-year-olds, leading in some cases to suicide. There are, of course, good schools with wonderful teachers everywhere, but they are handicapped by ideologically driven policies issued by nationalistic government departments that are obsessed with economic growth and have little understanding of the needs of the child.
So new methodologies are required that foster a sense of freedom in the child, young person, encourage group responsibility and allow true individuality and creative independent thinking. And that's thinking free from sociological and psychological conditioning. And this is essential if children of today are to find within themselves the resources needed to save our planet and to reshape society along more just lines. Central to the urgent reforms in education needs to be an expanded definition of purpose, a defined series of interrelated aims underpinning all aspects of education, a deeper understanding of the nature or constitution of the human being, and the psychological impact of certain teaching and indeed parenting methodologies.
It seems logical that whatever primary purpose the new education might have, it should be consistent with an agreed purpose of life. There may be various contradictory views on such a fundamental question, however, it should be possible to make certain general statements that will allow for broad interpretations and open-minded investigation to take place. Caught up in the practicalities and stresses of life, Most of us perhaps rarely consider the question of life's purpose, if indeed there is such a thing. And within education, little time is given to such inquiries. As currently constituted, education emphasizes secondary values, merely making us proficient in some branch of knowledge.
Krishnamurti, the great teacher, states in Education and the Significance of Life, education is not merely acquiring knowledge, gathering and correlating facts. It is to see the significance of life as a whole, end quote. Dominated as it is by competition and comparison, and seen by governments everywhere as little more than a supply chain for employers, such an integrated viewpoint within education is made extremely difficult. Children are rarely seen as individuals with certain innate gifts and talents, but as potential workers or economic assets, encouraged and forced in many cases through economic pressure and the impulse to succeed, to move from school to university and then into employment as quickly as possible.
Such institutions have been tailored, says Noam Chomsky in his book, The Educational Theory of Noam Chomsky, to meet the requirements of the market, with students being trained to be compliant workers. This distortion of function into a system of conditioning and indoctrination is far from the purpose of education, which Krishnamurti makes clear, and I quote, is not to produce mere scholars, technicians, and job hunters, but integrated men and women free from fear, unquote. Together with the media, education has become a major arena of propaganda and conditioning. Students are conditioned into competition and comparison. The result of both is the facilitation of psychological fear, manifesting as repression, anxiety, and stress. Fear inhibits physically, emotionally, and mentally, and is the antithesis of human freedom, which the 18th century French philosopher Jacques Rousseau maintained is nothing less than the essence of human nature. The removal of those elements that create fear, that deny and inhibit, would allow this essence to naturally flow, and with it, independent thinking, creativity, and initiative.
Dominant methods employed to motivate students encourage the individual to focus on their own progress, success, and material acquisition over the well-being of the group. Such practices work against social unity and therefore peace, encourage corrupt action through the cultivation of motive, and feed division. In such a world, we all want to be on top, as Krishnamurti says, and this desire creates constant conflict within ourselves and with our neighbours. It leads to competition, envy, animosity, and finally war. It is time this system of conditioning, indoctrination, and manipulation was abandoned in favour of a new creative approach that expands the individual's awareness and cultivates a sense of oneness. The individual and society are not separate, but interrelated and interconnected, whether that society is a family, a classroom, a school, a neighbourhood, town, city, country, or planet. All are the collective expression of those individuals who live within it.
Each and every one of us is an integral part of the whole, a collective core humanity. And as the writer and lecturer Benjamin Krim made clear in an interview entitled Education in the New Age, he says, education should show the child that it is a member of a world family, that we are not living alone in one large or small country, but in a world shared by 7.7 billion people. The child, above all, should be taught that this is the fundamental position of his or her life on Earth, that they are one of a group, a family. That group forms part of the planetary life, with its various kingdoms, a living totality forming part of a larger whole known as the solar system, which is but a part of the universe, and on into infinity stretches this extraordinary integrated whole, diverse but one.
The creation of an expansive awareness in which relationship with and responsibility for the group is cultivated should be seen as one of the key purposes of all aspects of the new education. In Education in the New Age by Alice A. Bailey, it is made clear that through education, self-consciousness must be unfolded until the man recognizes that his consciousness is a corporate part of the greater whole. He blends then with the group interests, activities and objectives. They are eventually his and he becomes group conscious. This is love. It leads to wisdom, which is love in manifested activity. Such should be the major objective of all true educational endeavours. Love of itself, self-consciousness, becomes love of those around, group consciousness, becomes love of the whole, God consciousness. Such are the steps.
The movement in conscious awareness outlined by Bailey gradually shifts the individual's identification away from the separate self, eroding selfish behavior and encouraging selflessness, social responsibility, and service. Service we might define as an action undertaken for the benefit of others, for the enrichment of the group, with little or no selfish motive. The 19th century American philosopher and educational reformer John Dewey explained that the impulse to help others is a natural human quality experienced by all children. And in the book Education for Social Change, he states that the child's natural desire is to give out, to do, and this means to serve. When his or her environment is purged of the elements that condition a man or woman into selfishness, then the natural inclination is to cooperate and to be kind, for within every human being sits the source of all that is good. With the flowering of this silent intelligence, education must concern itself.
Ideas of inherent goodness, innate intelligence, and unconditional love move us to think of education as that which, amongst other things, enables relationship with the will of life, that innate impulse which imbues all forms with purpose. Maria Montessori devised a groundbreaking way of teaching uneducable children, who we might now describe as having special educational needs, in the early 20th century, felt that traditional education neglects the child's inherent goodness and most basic needs. What she described in her book The Child as the exigencies of his spirit and his soul. The human being that lives within the child remains stifled therein. Liberating the human being that lives within the child and establishing a relationship with what we might call inherent or divine purpose and allowing actions consistent with its nature to take place should be seen as a fundamental purpose of education.
Rudolf Steiner explained in The Spiritual Ground of Education, The Necessity for Spiritual Insight, that when we confront education earnestly, it is demanded of us not only to acknowledge for the peace of our soul, but to will God's will, to act the intentions of God. To do this, however, we need a spiritual basis for education. Education that negates fear and conditioned ideas of self will allow for the natural flowering of the life within the form, or as Montessori put it, the human being that lives within the child. Within such an unpolluted space, response to what Blavatsky describes as the voice of the silence, echoes the intentions of God, can take place.
Krishnamurti hints at something similar, saying that when there is self-knowledge, the power of creating illusions ceases, and only then it is possible for reality or God to be known. End quote. The illusions flow from all constructs of the self as separate and allow negative aspects such as fear and guilt to flourish. The idea of separation is regarded as the great illusion in esoteric literature, the seed for all mental constructs that veil reality, colour, and limit relationship with oneself. What higher purpose could education have possibly than to shatter the great illusion and respond to innate purpose, to will God's will, as Rudolf Steiner puts it.
Education that allows for atonement and the resulting demonstration of divine or innate potential requires both the recognition and negation of all that denies such a natural state of being to occur, together with the sensitive, intuitive recognition of that potential. The suffocation of innate potential causes frustration and illness. Its realization is an essential aspect of purpose. Alice A. Bailey states that the increasing of soul awareness, the deepening of the flow of consciousness, and the development of an inner continuity of awareness, plus the evocation of soul attributes and aspects upon the physical plane, constitute the objective of all education.
Whether that which is innate is described as potential, as Dewey terms it, or what Rousseau called human freedom, the divine, according to Benjamin Creme, or the soul, of which Steiner, Montessori and Alice Bailey speak, any new education form must be concerned with facilitating the relationship with and the manifest expression of this aspect of man's nature. And there's a little quote here from Benjamin Creme, which says, "We are all souls in incarnation."
Right. Now, we'll continue with education, and we're going to read out a few quotes from different sources, and we'll begin with one from Mr. Creme's master in Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2. "A revolutionary change in educational ideas and aims will gradually unfold throughout the world. From its own background and traditions, each nation will contribute its ideas and experiments with the evolving child as the center of its thinking. A profound transformation in the understanding of the meaning and purpose of education will take place, in which the child, as an evolving soul, is considered in his individual uniqueness, and all educational facilities and techniques will be geared to serve the unfoldment of his divinity."
And we've got one here from Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3. "One of the first educational needs is to teach children to see themselves as part of a whole, of one great human race, made up of different nations, colours, backgrounds, religions, but all with the same divinity and all treading the same path back to the source."
Another one here. This one is from Maitreya's associate. In the book Maitreya's Teachings, The Laws of Life. "In many countries, there is strife because representatives of different faiths disagree. This creates crisis in the educational system. Maitreya says to every mother and father, look in your garden. Admire the beautiful flowers. The garden is beautiful only when there is diversity. In creation, there are seven colors. If one color is missing, there is no light. You are not here to take or reject faiths. You are here to experience all seven different colors. Thus your knowledge and wisdom will be increased."
And I think we'll leave it there for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you want more information, you can visit share-international.org. And if you want contact, you can email sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings, everyone.